content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The September issue of Our State Magazine features the sounds of home. From ocean breezes to mountain winds, whistles to fiddles, a music rooted in place and memory travels across North Carolina. The menu page shows a picture of Duke Chapel in Durham. On Fridays, the bells play the university's alma mater, Dear Old Duke, a tradition that dates back to the early 1980s. First up is the welcome message, entitled Jet Set, by the editor, Elizabeth Hudson. Goldsboro is quiet on the morning of Wings Over Wayne Air Show, despite thousands of cars streaming toward Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. Despite the volunteer-driven fleet of Wayne and Johnston County school buses, 30 of them, that are shuttling us to the airfield. As the bus rumbles down Wright Brothers Avenue, I think about that name and how far we've come. How, in little more than a century, we went from canvas-winged contraptions built in a bicycle shop to jets that split the sky, all steel and power and metal and muscle. The bus drops us at the edge of a sandy field and we shuffle down a narrow path. Pine needles underfoot, yellow wildflowers brushing our ankles. The landscape reminds me of Pinehurst, of last summer's U.S. Open, of the silence that falls before a golf swing. That same hush has settled here, over a crowd of 80,000 of us, all waiting for something to start. And then, two F-15s, silver and sharp, slice across the sky, dragging contrails that curl like cursive, drawing a heart in the sky. We see the jets first, then a beat later, we hear the sound. It hits like a drum dropped from heaven, not just loud, but a physical force, a seismic wave, a bone-deep thunder that rattles the ribs. We all look up, wordless. All day the air vibrates with the thrum of engines, broken by sonic bursts and sudden growls. I find shade beneath the massive wing of a B-2 bomber, B-2 Spirit bomber, where other families have gathered as well, sitting in folding chairs, their eyes turned skyward. Children race past in miniature flight suits, pint-sized pilots. A loudspeaker clicks on, and Taps begins playing. Everyone stands. Men remove their hats. Overhead, four jets fly in diamond formation, the missing man tribute. Three hold steady. One pulls up and away, rising, leaving a void in its wake. The crowd goes still. The show moves on, a procession of aerobatics and precision. An F-15E Strike Eagle tears through the sky in a combat demonstration. Kyle Franklin, a third-generation pilot, spins and loops through the clouds in his vintage biplane, part of Franklin's flying circus. And then come the Thunderbirds. Six white and red F-16s line up on the runway. The pilots in blue jumpsuits, men and women of the U.S. Air Force, stand tall and salute. They climb into their cockpits as a crescent moon edges above the pine trees, pale in the afternoon sky. The jets take off, trailing smoke, climbing in unison, their wings just 18 inches apart, almost touching. They fly as one, 700 miles per hour, over the trees, over Goldsboro, over Wayne County, over the soft farmland of eastern North Carolina. Then comes the roar, the surge of thunder. This, the announcer says, is the sound of freedom. And on this clear Carolina day, beneath a sky vast enough to hold awe and memory and grief and pride all at once, we believe him. The cover photo features a picture of Earl Scruggs' signature engraved on the tailpiece of one of his custom banjos, which is on display at the Earl Scruggs Center in Shelby. And now I will take you on a descriptive journey through this month's photo essay, entitled In Our Element, and features locations where earth, wind, fire, and water are on powerful display. The first photo is of a gentleman who is surfing in a big curling wave. And the caption is, "Rich soil, spirited wind, roaring fire, and swirling water contribute to North Carolina's tapestry of nourishment, art, and especially for surfer Brett Barley, recreation." And I don't know if this is at sunrise or sunset, but the water is golden, and the wave itself and the water in the foreground is kind of a blue-green color. First up is Joyce Kilmer Memorial Forest. This natural retreat in Robbinsville is named in honor of the poet Joyce Kilmer, best known for his ode to the inimitable beauty of nature. The photograph is of look from the base of a large tree and looking up into the sky. So we see the trunk growing further and further away as we get higher and higher, and the green canopy of leaves. Sunlight streams through the canopy to the floor of Joyce Kilmer Memorial Forest. Many of the giant trees on this 3,800-acre woodland are more than 400 years old. Its famed tulip trees surpass more than 100 neighboring species in height and circumference, enticing hikers to link arms around the 20-plus foot trunks. Our next stop is Hawbridge Lower School Learning Garden in Saxapahaw. And the photo shows little hands tilting watering cans and plucking herbs as they nurture a patch of earth near the Hall River. Over the past 5 years, what started as a bare plot has been transformed into a native plant garden, natural classroom, and vegetable garden, where junior gardeners from Hawbridge Lower School can get their hands in the dirt and watch as seeds turn into a sweet harvest. Most of the produce and herbs are harvested by the school children, and a portion is donated to two nearby food banks. SAFE, S-A-F-E, in Graham, and Stone Soup Menus in Swepsonville. And we shows, in the two photos, we show children exploring the plants and checking out the plants and watering and nurturing them. Next up is Cat Vieira Pottery. And this is out of Seagrove. From rust-colored trails to carefully crafted mugs, Seagrove has earned a reputation for prized clay. For potter Kat Vieira, her work with the moldable material evolves daily. Vieira draws inspiration for her designs, created with freehand carvings, custom stamps, and layered glazes, from nature and her own life experiences. As an instructor, she emphasizes a balance of effort and ease and encourages her students to work through challenges, relinquish control, and, as she puts it, let their personalities shine on the wheel. And we have a variety of her pieces of pottery. There she has a wall hanging or perhaps an ornament that's the state of North Carolina in glaze that's gold and blue and brown. We have a mug with a face of it looks almost mythical, of a creature that with one eye blinking and the other eye open with a beard. And then she's actually working on a large decorative vase. And then there's a pitcher with a rose on the side of it that's sort of carved and glazed as well. And nearby Starworks Ceramics is a go-to source for local wild clay, and Vieira hopes to incorporate clay from her background into future pieces. And we have a potter's wheel on the facing page. Next up is Jockey's Ridge State Park. The whip and roar of wind greets those who climb to the top of Jockey's Ridge, an audible reminder of how the Nag's Head site was formed. Shifting maritime winds carry billions of grains of sand, constantly changing the contour and scope of the colossal dune system. Each September, professional kite flyers scale the Sandy Mountain for the Outer Banks Kite Festival. Their colorful beacons are propelled by the very element that sculpts the ground underfoot. The photo that we have shows a variety of kites, very, very colorful. It's obviously a drone photo taken from a drone vantage point. And the colors are very bright, and you can tell how large these kites are because the people on the ground below look like ants in the photograph, and the kites are fabulous. They're very colorful, and they're huge. The end of summer blows in the annual Outer Banks Kite Festival, held on September 12th and 13th this year. Watch for larger-than-life kites. Like, and they're showing a picture of a behemoth, humongous octopus. And it is very huge. The Blowing Rock. For those perched on the precipice of this dizzying, tall stone cliff, gusts of northwest wind blast upward from the Johns River Gorge, kissing their faces. Said to be a place where snow falls upside down, the Blowing Rock is at the center of local lore, inspiring tales of miraculous drafts and transcendent love. Legend holds that after a Cherokee man flung himself from the cliff, his Chickasaw lover prayed for his return. It's said that the powerful wind from the valley below guided him back to the edge of the rock and into her embrace. And we have a father and a daughter on the edge of the Blowing Rock looking out. And we have a wonderful view of the mountains in the background. Next, we have sculptures and chimes. And we'll take a couple of locations there. One is the Dr. Lawrence and Alma Louise Hart Chimes in Greensboro. Planted among the trees at the Greensboro Arboretum, these wind chimes gently ring out as the breeze coaxes them to dance. Dr. Lawrence Hart, Dean of UNC Greensboro's School of Music from 66 to 1980, dedicated his life to sharing song across Guilford County and beyond. Today, nature honors him as it plays its own tune. And these are huge wrought iron wind chimes. They're each portion of it is, I'm sure, taller than 6 or 7 feet tall, and the largest ones anyway. And they are balanced in a three-part wind chime arrangement, three arches soldered together, and the wind chimes hanging from them. So all different tones with that. The next is in Wilson is Wallace Simpson Whirligig Park. The Lake folk artist Wallace Simpson's whimsical whirligigs squeak, clang, or clink, depending on the wind. These iconic metal sculptures vary in design from quirky airplanes to otherworldly structures with wildly spinning wheels. When gentle breezes swoop in, the creations respond, art in motion, animated by the force of an invisible breath. Moving to Durham, it's the Liberty Arts Iron Pour. A flame shoots from the furnace like a jet engine cutting through dusk. Each November, metal workers from across the state gather around furnaces set up in Durham Central Park for the annual Iron Pour, a fundraiser for Liberty Arts. Teams load iron into the flames, roaring at about 3,000 degrees, and pour the molten metal into molds to create cast iron works of art. Pour masters at the 9th annual event collect molten iron to pour into sand molds, resulting in intricate finished works. And in this picture, we have a picture of the furnace and several gathered around and they're pouring out the molten iron into molds. And then another picture shows another view of the pouring into the molds from the molten iron, the sand molds. And then you have an actual picture of the finished result with the iron having been poured into the sand molds, and they're still cleaning out those molds, but different Celtic knots and other shapes and such. And it looks like it's under cover of darkness, so in the dusk sky. All right, Cherokee Bonfire is our next vignette as night falls. Cherokee storytellers dressed in 17th century clothing regale a captivated audience with ancient legends. The Cherokee people have gathered around the fire for centuries. Today's bonfires welcome visitors to learn about the tribe's heritage under the Smoky Mountain stars. On Fridays and Saturdays from June to October, storytellers like Sunny Ledford share Cherokee traditions and marshmallows, too, at Oconaluftee Island Park. And it has a picture of Sonny and with a microphone sharing stories dressed in his Native American garb and a fire in the foreground with a rapt audience around him at dusk. Moving to Black Mountain, Abioko Pizza. Chef Glenn Osterberg needs only to peer into his wood-fired oven to see a plume of black smoke turn white. That's when you know it's hot enough, he says. The air around Abioko Pizzeria, a pizza truck outside Perry Social House in Black Mountain, is cool and comfortable. But inside, the oven has reached 700 degrees. This is the temperature at which Osterberg cooks specialty pies, like the Sportacular mushroom-topped pizza, with pine nut pesto, garlic, parmesan, ricotta cheese, and a hearty helping of basil. And they have a picture of that very pizza. The green basil is very obvious on top. Full stems of basil, not just basil leaves. Got stems and everything. Osterberg trained in classic Manhattan pasta houses, where he fell in love with Italian cuisine. At Abioko, he blends Italian ingredients like San Marzano tomatoes, olive oil, and Pecorino Romano cheese with local produce, spices, and meat from Tendwell, Black Earth, and Slate Family Farms. And there's a picture of that wood-fired oven with a pizza about ready to pull out, I believe, and another picture showing him handling dough, getting ready to make a pizza. Moving away from fire to water, Fontana Dam. In the wilds of the Smoky Mountains, this man-made marvel created Lake Fontana, a glassy playscape for boating, fishing, and paddling. Towering 480 feet above the Little Tennessee River, Fontana Dam, the tallest in the eastern United States, was among a handful built in the mid-20th century to power factories throughout southern Appalachia. The dam took only 2 years to complete. And we show a glassy surface of the lake and the mountains in the background, rolling hills in the background, actually. It's in the mountains, though. And the glassy with a boat riding on the surface with ripples in the water. It's very pretty, very serene. More water with Rodanthe Surf. Moving to Rodanthe. Surfers travel from around the globe to ride the waves along our state's beaches. Perched at the easternmost edge of North Carolina, the village of Rodanthe is the nerve center. Rodanthe's location near the continental shelf means a sudden and dramatic increase in the ocean's depth, which results in a powerful beach break and a stellar ride for surfer Michael Dunphy. And in that picture, he's actually in the curl of the wave, coming out the curl. And the water is, the way that's depicted, the water's almost like a lime green, a very pale lime green, almost translucent. And the foreground is actually more blue. Then there's Masonboro Island. Oysters, mussels, whelks, and other shellfish thrive in the waters where fisher Anna Shellum harvests for North Carolina restaurants. Though her marshland office feels a world away, the proximity to her clients means she often delivers that morning's catch fresh each day. And she's using a homemade tool that she calls a cluster buster to separate wild oysters that grow in clumps. And it looks like it's just a piece of metal, sort of knife-shaped but blunt on all sides, to bust up the clumps of the wild oysters. So we'll jump into our first article from the theme, Sounds of Home, and this is entitled, A Fair to Remember. Amid dazzling lights and a rollicking soundtrack, county fairs keep us close to our rural roots. The Midway is awash in noise. Before the Lenoir County Agricultural Fair even opens, before some 14,000 people descend on the fairgrounds in Kinston, the rhythm of hammer and ratchet announces the return of a 110-year-old tradition. Compressors hum and thump. Generators harmonize, their combined drone overtaking the put, put, put of their little engines. Workers call out progress checks, ask for a hand or a tool, and give warnings of, hey, watch your head. In a kitchenette by the fairground gates, members of the all-volunteer Lenoir County Fair Association go over last-minute logistics, cash for change, coils of tickets, wads of wristbands, which volunteers arrive when, food vendors and trash patrols and parking, a thousand things to think of. Soon the Midway is awash in a completely different kind of noise. Coins clink into those machines that push them into an improbable pile, hopeful fingers feeding silver into the little slot. On a win, there's a tinny avalanche, the cheer of the winner and the slap of high fives. It's a Las Vegas crescendo in miniature as hands collect heaps of quarters and shove them into bulging pockets. There's a stereo cacophony. Music blares from here, bass thumps from there. It's a fever dream of Lee Greenwood, the Grateful Dead, reggaeton, Kylie Minogue, salsa, the plucky opening strains of Sweet Home Alabama, and the thunder of Led Zeppelin coming from everywhere all at once. On rides, excited screams come and go with Doppler magic, voices rising and falling and circling back on themselves as the riders whirl, disappear into the evening and return. Kids whoop and yell over the subway-like clacking and clanking of a ride just their size. A man in a shirt emblazoned with cartoon tacos stands before a crowd of kids. He is armed with balloons, which squeak and twist in his hands as he keeps his young audience laughing. He turns the balloons into swords, pirate hats, and dinosaurs, and puts them into eager hands. Everywhere, conversation. Hey, how's your dad? Has it really been a year already? Shoot. Mom, I only need $10. I know I can win this time. Please, one more ride. Just one more, I promise. Please, Mom. It's almost time to go, mijo. Barkers work the crowd from their game booths. Winner, hey, winner here. Almost, my man. Want another try? Replay and I'll give you 6 throws for $10. Hey, bring that kiddo over and I'll guarantee a prize. A screaming kid doesn't want to leave. She blubbers and wails and throws a temper tantrum for every moment of anticipated joy that will surely occur beyond her bedtime. Far from the distortion-heavy guitar riffs and electronic trills of the Midway, the sounds emanating from the animal barn are ancient, timeless. A rooster lets out a comically territorial crow amidst the worried whirr, whirr of his brood. Sheep's bleat, sending their bravado baas to the rafter. Listen close and you'll hear the individual voices. This one warbles, that one's raspy. Another has a deep timbre. All the animals have their own cadences, their own accents. Muscovy ducks don't sound like Pekin ducks, which sound like someone saying quack with a nasal twang. Chinese geese have a rhythmic honk, while turkeys purr, cluck, and cackle with surprising musicality. The black Spanish hens make tentative sounds, but the barred rock has a high, nearly keening call. Mallard ducks, always chattering, sound hungry and confident. A fuss with a Narragansett turkey sets them off, and soon a dozen ducks stomp their feet and flap their few loose feathers in a moment of distress. A miniature horse makes a full-sized racket that rises and ends in an ear-piercing note that encourages the horses all across the barn to answer, and they converse. One horse cranes its neck and nods to give its neighs more throat. The miniature horse rears and does its best to sound 4 times its size. When a volunteer walks over with a bale of hay and some fresh water, it prances, whinnying excitedly. In the next pen, a calf wants out. It bawls to a trio of teen boys and the scions of 100-year farms in eastern North Carolinas who come to calm it. They low back, each in turn, and it settles. "Oh, you're a pretty girl," one says, kneeling by the gate. "Oh, just look at you." He giggles unabashed as the calf's tongue comes out for a kiss, swiping his chin and nose. For a moment, the peacocking of teenhood is forgotten, his laugh and the contented sigh of the calf the only things that matter. Those animal sounds are perhaps the strongest link to a tradition that goes back centuries. Well before there were midway rides and carnival games, funnel cakes and corn dogs, county fairs gave farmers an opportunity to gather, trade, learn, and barter. Those rural roots remain the foundation of the Lenoir County Fair. Each fall brings a fair that's singular. Be here this year or miss out, but cut from the same cloth as years past. There are agricultural exhibits and competitions, a tractor driving contest, a cheer competition, the demolition derbies, a generations-long fixture. So's the casserole cook-off and the talent show for county school kids. Music's a constant, but it's evolved from rootsy country in the 40s and 50s to beach and soul music in the 60s and 70s to the mixtape of today. Soul, rap, rock, country, Tejano, and salsa performed in English and Spanish with a drawl or twang or tilde. There are calm stretches, too, if you listen for them. Somewhere between the animal calls, the musicians are playing like to a packed house or a handful of fans, the sirens and klaxons of the midway, and our own conversations. In the rare pocket of quiet, folks set the world aside and simply exist in the present. But these moments are short-lived in such a dynamic place. As the demolition derby revs up, the throaty roar of V8 engines shakes needles from the pine trees and sends a mismatched flock of birds into the autumn sky. The roars rise, rattling the very roots of the grass. As vehicular violence envelops a concrete-clad arena, tires spin as cars claw the mud for traction, then squelch off at a speed to slam into the side of some sedan, shearing off a fender, well, flinging a wash of muddy clods over the crowd. Perhaps in the midst of all that reverberation, the demolition derby is planting seeds for next fall, a bumper crop of metallic blooms to kick off next year's fair with a bang. And the Lenoir County Fair is September 30th through October 4th on Fairgrounds Road in Kinston. And you can look up their website, lenoircountyfair.org. A couple of other fairs that might be of interest. The Cumberland County Fair actually starts tomorrow through September 7th. The North Carolina Mountain State Fair is September 5th through the 14th in Fletcher, North Carolina. And the Surrey County Fair is in Mount Airy, September 16th through the 20th. The Wilson County Fair is September 16th through the 21. Chatham County Fair in Pittsburgh is September 18th through 21. Chowan County Fair in Edenton is September 23rd through the 27th. Cleveland County Fair is in Shelby, September 25th through October 5th, and the Carolina Classic Fair in Winston-Salem, October 3rd through the 12th. Well, that sound means that we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and can be reached at 919-781-1973. Program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired and is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. For questions or comments, call us at 919-832-5138. So long till next time.